Part 3. We had been sailing for 7 days when a very strong wind began to blow. For the next 48 hours, this wind continued, but the ship was strong and nothing happened to it. However, at the end of this period, the wind became a hurricane and the ship wasn't strong enough for this. Water started coming into it and we were all afraid that we would sink. We were desperate and tried to make the ship lighter by throwing all the cargo into the sea. But this didn't help, and the ship continued to fill with water. When evening came, the wind became a little less violent and the sea a little calmer. That night, there was a full moon so we could see what we were doing. After much hard work, we finally succeeded in getting the lifeboats into the sea next to the ship. We helped all the crew and most of the passengers to get into these boats. The lifeboats then left the ship and, 3 days later, got safely to land. I stayed on the ship with the captain and 12 other passengers. We now put the last lifeboat into the water and we all got into it, the captain and his wife, Mr. Wyatt and his family, an army officer with his wife and 4 children, a servant, and of course myself. The boat was very small, and there was no room for anything in it apart from the most essential things and some food. We left everything else on the ship. We had just started to move away from the ship when something very surprising happened. Wyatt stood up and demanded that the lifeboat return to the ship so that he could get his oblong box.
"Mr. Wyatt, sit down immediately," the captain ordered angrily. "The boat will turn over if you don't sit quietly and we'll all drown."
"The box!" shouted Wyatt, still standing. "Captain Hardy, I implore you to go back for the box. It isn't heavy. You can't refuse. You must go back."
For a moment, the captain seemed to be affected by Wyatt's words, but then he said severely,
"Mr. Wyatt, you're insane. Sit down, I say, or the boat will fill with water. You're putting us all in danger."
While the captain was still speaking, Wyatt jumped suddenly into the sea. Because we were still very near the ship, he succeeded in grabbing a rope which was hanging from it. He pulled himself onto the deck of the ship, and we saw him running towards his cabin. While we watched, our little boat was carried away from the ship by the high waves. We tried to go back, but there was no way we could do so. We all knew what would happen to the unfortunate artist. As our distance from the ship became bigger, we saw Wyatt appear on the deck, pulling the oblong box. Then he tied some rope, first around the box, and then around himself. While we watched in horror, he jumped into the sea, and he and the box disappeared forever into the water. There was nothing we could do to help him. We sat in silence for some time, looking at the place where Wyatt had jumped, until we could no longer see it. It took our small boat 4 days to get to land. During these 4 days we suffered very much, and it was only good fortune that saved us. We felt more dead than alive when we finally got there. About a month after these events, I was walking down a street in New York when I suddenly saw Captain Hardy. Of course, we began to talk about the disaster, and especially about poor Wyatt and his terrible death. It was then that the captain told me the story of what had really happened, and I finally learned the truth about Wyatt's strange behavior. Wyatt had bought tickets on the ship for himself, his new wife, his 2 sisters and a servant. Wyatt's wife, the captain told me, was beautiful and intelligent, just as Wyatt had described her to me. On the morning of the 14th of June, the day on which I first visited the ship, something terrible happened. Mrs. Wyatt suddenly became ill and died. Wyatt was almost insane with grief, but he now had an additional problem. He had to take the body of his beloved wife to her mother in New York, but most of the other passengers
would have abandoned the ship rather than travel with a dead body. With the captain's help, Wyatt found a way to have the body on the ship without the passengers knowing. The body was partially embalmed, packed in a box of suitable dimensions with a large quantity of salt, and taken onto the ship as cargo. That was the secret of the oblong box. The body of Wyatt's wife was in it, and not a painting, as I had thought. This explained all the sounds I had heard the night I couldn't sleep. Nothing was to be said about Mrs. Wyatt's death, but because everyone knew that Wyatt had bought a ticket for his wife, it was necessary to find someone to impersonate her during the voyage. Wyatt convinced his wife's servant to do this. This was possible because none of the passengers had met the real Mrs. Wyatt. And so, the extra cabin, which had originally been intended for the servant, was retained, and the servant slept there at night after impersonating Mrs. Wyatt during the day. My extreme curiosity had led me to the wrong conclusion. Now, I seldom sleep well at night. Instead, I see Wyatt's face and I hear his hysterical laughter when I asked him about the oblong box.